And I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer. Amen. Everything is connected to everything else. The butterfly beats its wings in the New England woods, provoking an invisible chain of reaction resulting in a typhoon battering the Japanese coast. The magnitude of this interconnection is truly mind-blowing. All that is ever seen is what spirit causes, inspires, activates. In his song, Blowin' in the Wind, the great Bob Dylan, once more with a direct simplicity, comes closest to articulating the mystery of spirit. All that is ever seen is what spirit causes, inspires, activates. And so in this vein, let me try to give a descriptive theological shape to the day of Pentecost, the arrival of which brings to a close the long biblical narrative that has been unfolding since Christmas through Easter to today. Pentecost is Greek for 50th day, the 50th day after Easter. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the risen and ascended Christ, the Holy Spirit, entered material time and space as the crucial participant in the ongoing life of the creation. John hints at Jesus' gift of his Spirit to his disciples in the farewell discourses, where in today's gospel he tells them, "If I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send it to you. For when the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth." Now, it's Luke, of course, who offers the graphic description of the event that overwhelmed Jesus' followers on the day of Pentecost. Luke's chronological arrangement of the life and times of Jesus from birth through resurrection ends with the ascension. And in the sequel to his gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, Luke chronicles the life and times of the followers of Jesus, beginning with the event that transformed them from a dispirited, ragtag band of the dejected into an empowered, pneumatic community, inflated by the power of the Spirit. And Luke goes on to record in the Acts how the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in this pneumatic community begins to forge a distinctively revolutionary way of living. Pentecost marks the transfer of power from what had been the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of those who became initially known as the followers of the way. Now, being faithful Jews, these first followers of Jesus had gathered in Jerusalem for Shavuot, the other great pilgrim festival at which every Jew, especially of the male variety, was encouraged to come up to Jerusalem for the 50th day following Passover to commemorate the giving of Torah by God to Moses. Luke paints a vivid technicolor picture of the events that overtook Jesus' followers, who were visited by a pyrotechnic eruption of wind and fire and ecstatic utterance, marking the pneumatic inflation of the Holy Spirit. And among the multitude of pilgrims gathered for Shavuot across the Jewish diaspora were Jews from Medea, Elam, as far away as Mesopotamia, from Cappadocia and a host of other cities in Asia Minor, together with Egyptian, Libyan, and Arabian Jews, alongside local Judeans. All witnessed the clamor among the band of unruly Galilean peasants, hearing them shouting out in their own tongues, while others of a more cynical mindset dismissed the rabble-rousers as drunk. Not only drunk, but drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. After all, what could you expect from a bunch of Galileans? And last week, I drew a metaphor of a conduit, a two-way traffic highway connecting the dimension of time and space with the spiritual dimension, each dimension arranged parallel. And with the ascension of Jesus, the direction of the traffic flows from time and space to the spiritual space, as Jesus is received by God and reunited within the divine nature, not simply as a divine being, but now clothed in the fullness of his humanity. Following the reception of the humanity of Jesus, now perfected through suffering, into the divine nature, the traffic flow reverses, and the divine spirit of Jesus is released to re-enter time and space, becoming known as the Holy Spirit, who, in the words of the Nicene Creed, proceeds from the Father through the Son. All that is ever seen is spirit. It causes, it inspires, it provokes, it influences, and it activates. Now, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples of Jesus were set ablaze. They were enraptured, hearts and minds ignited with passion. Drawing a more contemporary analogy, in his song, "I'm on Fire," Bruce Springsteen captures such a moment when he sings. One can well imagine the disciples at night waking with sheets soaking wet, with a freight train running through the middle of their heads. Only then could they say, "You, only you, Lord, can cool my desire." And the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of God as the primal force, animating and spanning between all things, echoing the Genesis vision of the divine wind moving across the face of the void, calling forth structure and order out of chaos. The Apostle Paul, in chapter 8 of his letter to the Romans, recaptures the grandeur of this Genesis vision, leading him to this arresting association of the Holy Spirit as the midwife of creation. He writes, "Know this, the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we await for the adoption as part of the redemption of creation." And Paul, offering this extraordinary image of the Spirit birthing in us like pre-linguistic newborns, speaking for us in sighs too deep for words. St. Martin's is a Spirit-filled community. This is not the way we normally think of ourselves, for we're shaped by a cooler Anglican ethos that has traditionally been highly suspicious of enthusiasm. Our spirit fullness is revealed through our synergy of traditional Anglican worship with radical theological and social messaging, allowing us to explore, fashion, and present fresh perspectives on traditional articulations of theology and faith practice. In this, we capture the revolutionary effect of the Spirit, directly addressing head-on the challenges faced by us, not in some perfect life that we should be living, but in the lives that we are actually living. And this can be a testing experience, and it gives the lie to the accusation that our Anglican way is an easy religion. And following this liturgy, we will celebrate our Spirit-filled, magnetic community, a community drawing others to us. We're an attractive, warm, and welcoming community. We express a quiet spiritual empowerment. We exhibit revolutionary courage, confronting challenges to faith in the modern context while also risking new opportunities, as together we reach out for God's invitation to work tirelessly for the healing of the world. All that is ever seen is what Spirit causes, inspires, empowers, provokes, and activates. Or as Bob Dylan tells it, the answer, my friends, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. The life of spirit is not subject to our manipulation or control. It's not comprehensible to our grasping minds. The spirit makes itself known to us when we allow ourselves to become available to its promptings, to act under the furtherance of the divine plan for creation, which always begins with a revolutionary refusal to accept that the way things are in the world is the way things have to be. All that is seen is what spirit motivates, impels, triggers, stimulates, and acts.